And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Tuesday, July the 21st, 2015. 12:17 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here in Marion. You're tuned into the Now program right here on WWGH Radio. I am Scott Spears. And remember, we are streaming live on the internet, www.wwgh1071.com. And coming up in our next hour, we're going to be joined via telephone from California by legendary actress from the hit TV series The Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs. So that coming up in the next hour. And don't forget the Faye Bank Charlie Evers Show Wednesday morning from 10:10 until 12 noon live right here on WWGH Radio. And we have some new additions to the radio station here that we certainly want to make mention of. Starting next Monday, July the 27th at 10:10 in the morning, Marion Today with Fran Vall. Fran Vall, former principal at Marion Catholic High School, will start his weekly interview show here next Monday, July the 27th, from 10:10 until 11 a.m. every Monday. And Phil Reed, former fire chief and teacher and candidate for mayor of Marion, as well as president of city council, will start doing a new program called Headlines, July the 27th, that Monday morning at 10 a.m. until 12 p.m. So every Monday now, Fran Vall from 10 to 11 in the morning and Phil Reed from 11 to 12. We're proud to have them joining the schedule here. Is that right, Sean?
That's right.
Sean Kraft joins us in studio. Now today, folks, is going to be a lot of fun because if you've lived in Marion for any period of time, you certainly know that we have a lot of great local history and a lot of great entrepreneurs. None of those any better than the man who was the proprietor for 51 years of the Smith Cardinal grocery store that was on North Main Street. Remember it well. Remember the blue and white front for years and years and years. And last time I was over there, I think the sign is still there. And we're glad because that's a piece of history that should be there. Today we're going to learn the ins and outs of the last 51 years of the grocery business in Marion, Ohio, as it related to us with the man who was there all 51 years, the day it opened and the day it closed. He is really a legend in the business world here, Bob Smith. Bob, how are you?
Just fine, thank you.
So glad you were able to come in today. I've wanted to talk to you for a while and just never could get it together, so I'm glad it's finally happening.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, tell me, did you grow up in Marion?
Oh, yes.
What year were you born?
May 12th, 26.
1926.
Mm-hmm.
So, 89 now.
Yep, 89.
Feel pretty good?
Yep, still in good shape.
That's good to hear. What do you attribute that to?
Oh, good health and so forth like that. And exercise.
Yeah.
And playing golf.
Yeah, that'll do it. Got to keep the exercise in. What was it like growing up in Marion in the 1920s?
Well, if you want to, I can tell you where I started.
Go right ahead.
And in 1943, in high school, part-time, I worked at Commercial Steel on a shakeout and throwing chemicals in the furnace. I quit after 5 weeks and losing 10 pounds. And I went to Universal Cool in Parks Packings and graduated from Harding in 1944 and went into the Navy for 2 years. We were blowed up on the bow and went back into another Anahuetok and got repaired and then back to the States. And 1946 as a boilermaker and third class petty officer. Went back to Universal Cooler, got married in 1949, and quit the cooler and went to work at Houghton Salke Company for 2 years. And then I quit and went to Producers Livestock Co-op as office manager for 2 years and quit and purchased Alice's dad's store on the land contract. After 5 years, it was a small store, and 5 years, we closed and went moved to the Bodley restaurant across the street, which Harvey Wilson, her dad, owned. We got a loan from the National City to remove the filling station and built to the side of the store, and later built to the rear of the store with a forklift for the stock. 51 years, we sold the stock and equipment and building and went to work for Menards for a couple years. After that, I kind of retired. After going to, I went with perks from the warehouse. I went to England, Spain, Hawaii, Las Vegas 5 times, and took 2 cruises, and Australia.
Is that
so
right?
I had a pretty eventful life, really.
Absolutely.
But these perks, you got so many points for purchasing, and then you go on these trips with the other grocers, and at a reduced price. And this allocated, like, going to Las Vegas cost me $300, and they flew us there, played golf 3 days, gambled a little, and came back home, which was a lot of fun.
I can imagine. Well, what was the favorite place you traveled to? Was it?
Well, I don't know. I think England. It was the people there were so nice. In fact, I played golf there. I can't believe that, but I did. I got to tell you about this. There was a little building where you paid, and we went over to pay, and it was closed. And so we asked somebody. He says, "Well, where is everybody?" "Oh," he says, "this is tea time. There's a little building over there." So we went over, and here's all these assortment of cookies and donuts and everything else. And here we are drinking tea, and we get done drinking tea. The clubhouse opened, and we went and played golf.
Oh.
So we had this one guy. We was a foursome, of course, and we had this one guy. He was having a little trouble, and so these guys behind us were Englishmen with the kilts and all the works of an Englishman, and he was 10 yards from us, and he come up and he says, "I'm sorry, blokes," but he said, "I hit the ball like a bloomin' rocket," and he was still quite a ways away from us, so we told him to go ahead through. One guy was having trouble, so we got into the clubhouse, and they're in a big round table, and nothing have it, but we got to go over and have a beer with them. And they were all in the automotive industry, and they started talking to us about the automotive industry in the United States, which was very interesting. We had a good time with them there.
I think England would be a fun place to go. I can't imagine anything bad about a trip like that.
Mm-hmm.
Bob, when you were growing up here in Marion, back in the 20s and 30s, what was Marion like? How was it different from today?
Oh, my goodness. The South Main Street, they had the side parking. And my dad, when I was a kid, my dad had a restaurant there on West Center Street, and we lived above. And, of course, they had round and square dancing on Friday night. My job the next day was to clean up the booze and the everything and clean up. But anyway, the parking was angle, and downtown there was several other restaurants down on West Center Street, the spot, and I can't remember some of the some grills in there and everything. And downtown, of course, the Frank Brothers and the other buildings around, there was still a lot of beer joints on South Main, which some of them are still there, and different owners, of course. But it was a lot different. I know my dad kept a pistol and brass knucks and a sap. You know what a sap is a piece of leather with lead in it and a handle. And if somebody got a little wrong, he popped them. And he didn't put up with nothing. He was... we had a real good time. Of course, I wouldn't allow downstairs, but they had round and square dancing and everything. He wanted me to play the fiddle, so I'd play in square dances. I said, "No way, I want to play the guitar." So I took one lesson on the guitar. He said, "You either play the fiddle or nothing." So it was nothing. That's a woman's job, I said, playing the fiddle. So I didn't get to play the fiddle or anything.
When you drive through Marion today, all these years later, when you see downtown, when you see the city, what's it make you think, having lived through those days?
Oh, my. It's just deplorable that so many of them were actually entrepreneurs of Marion that had different businesses, which were accumulated over the years. And then, of course, the big stores come in and run them out. And
Bob, how was it? What was the year, and how did the Smith Cardinals start? How did that all come about?
Well, I started in... it was probably back in 1950...
Around 1950?
In the 50s there sometime. I don't know exactly the time.
How did it come about you were going to do a grocery store?
Well, I really wanted to have a nightclub, but outside the city limits was 3-2 beer, and you had to have liquor for a nightclub. And anyway, when it came to pass that none of Harvey Wilson's sons would be interested in grocery business, so I talked to him and bought it on a land contract, just the equipment. I didn't buy the store, just the equipment in there. And then 5 years later, they were all charge accounts. So, like, if you charge something, and I'm have there, and so when I collected his charge accounts, I gave them to him, and then it was my church accounts. So we went converted into a business like that, and then he owned the city service station and Bodley Barbecue across the street. And so I talked him in. The filling station closed, and I talked him into selling me the Bodleys on a land contract.
Now, this was your father-in-law.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, he was in the grocery business as well, so did he go out as soon as you went in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But actually, he started from his house. He lived down on Copeland, and he raised some hogs right there in the field, or in the building he had there. And when he started, he killed them himself, and cut the meat up and went and parts of the meat and went house to house selling the fresh pork. Oh, of course, you'd be in jail now if you try something like that. But anyway, that's the way he started. And then he bought this house and started the business in that, converted the house, which was when we started. It was a house, and you don't believe this. This was inside the city limits with an outside john and a pump in the back.
Oh, my goodness.
The way we started.
Was this the location where the store ended up being on North Main? Was the house there?
No, we moved across the street in the Bodley's building.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. So that was there before what we know today as the Smith Cardinal property.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Sean, you had a question?
Yeah, I just wonder how you came up with the name Smith Cardinal.
Well, Cardinal Foods was the... business where we bought the wholesale.
Oh, okay.
It was Cardinal Distribution.
Oh.
And so we just put Smith's Cardinal.
Oh.
Come out like. Actually, the other store was we called Smith's Blue Store, and Smith's Royal Cardinal. But anyway, Smith's Blue. And anyway, I got to tell you this story about this colored lady come in the store, and we called the store Royal Blue.
Uh-huh.
At that time, and she come in and she was wanting to get cash or check. Well, she says, well, they wouldn't cash it, so they called me up and says, well, where's Royal Blue at? I want to talk to him. He'll cash my check. So I come up and okayed her check. And we got along. But the height of, you know, sealing things and everything, the height of one time. Well, two times is a big story. This we had been into teaching us how to know how to recognize somebody stealing. So this woman came up, and she was walking funny like this. And so I thought, well, something's wrong here. I think she's got something between her legs, because we had seen that before, you know, and teaching. And so I went up and bumped her, and sure enough, a turkey fell out. but this other one is, you can't believe this, but
that was pretty good.
It was in the winter time, and this guy came in, and I was in the back room, and come out and looked down the aisle, and here's this guy. He's got a big Mackinac on. He takes it open like this and takes a jar of coffee and puts inside. And so I called the sheriff, and I said, well, just stay outside, and when he gets through the, you got to get him behind the, across the checkout. And so I said, wait outside, and we'll come out and get him. So went out, he got through the checkout. He bought something, little thing, and got out there. And so the sheriff got him, and we opened up his coat. He had $60 worth of groceries.
Oh, my
he had
goodness.
Pockets in here for meat, coffee, bacon, and everything in there. And so, and find out that he had been a deputy up at Bucyrus.
Oh.
So that was really something.
Well, you know, that brings up an interesting question, Bob. How big of a problem was shoplifting over the years? Because Smith Cardinal was a pretty big store.
Oh, it wasn't that big a problem. Just occasionally you had things. But we did have, like, a break-in over at the other store and had a safe, and they busted it open and got into it. And then at the other store, we had a hold-up. We had a safe with a top in it where the money was down in there. I thought, well, this is a better safe, you know. So anyway, Vic, my son-in-law, the guy held him up, and he had been in the National Guard, and the guy held him up and took all the money and the checks. He took the checks, too. And I says, well, you know, he was in the National Guard. Why didn't you? You got all this training and everything. Why didn't you pop him one? He said, well, the gun was this big around, the barrel was this big around, and the gun was that long. He said, I wasn't about to. But anyway, the checks were found by some boy that was walking down the ditch, and he found all these checks laying in the ditch, and they brought them up, and it ended up, we had about $5,000 worth of checks. And we ended up with just a few of them that wasn't. And then some of the people called that said, well, my check wasn't cashed. And they said, well, I explained to them, and some of them came in and made the check right because it destroyed. But anyway, this kid found him, and he called me, and he said, they found him, you know, and everything. And I said, well, what does the kid want for doing this? And he said, well, he'd like to have a bicycle. I said, you go down and pick out the best bike you can find. And I bought him a bicycle.
Oh, how nice. Well, you know, Bob, it's interesting because every business person I've ever known, and you were hands-on, how many days a week were you spending in that store in the beginning?
Oh, I'd play probably 50 hours or better.
Wow.
In the end, and you were in your 70s, 80s in the end.
Yeah.
How many hours were you spending there?
Well, I was still spending about 45. My son-in-law took over quite a bit.
What did you like to do when you went in the last years? What did you enjoy about the grocery business the most?
Well, the people. I had, as you come in the store in the front, my desk was elevated and is on the right as you come in. So this fellow that from Cardinal Foods, he was a connoisseur of how the store should be set up and everything. He laid out plans how the store should be set up. And he told me one time, he says, the people want to see you, not the rest of the employees. You're the owner, and when they come in, they want to see you. So you put yourself as they come in the store. And that's the way I set it up there.
You know what I remember? I can, when I was younger, we would go into Smith Cardinal, and this is the memory that sticks with me to this day. You had, and I've never seen them anywhere else, the most unique shopping carts. They went up in the front. Where did those, was that how shopping carts were years ago?
Yeah, and that was what was recommended by, from this guy from, he was from Chicago, actually. But he was with Cardinal Foods.
What would you say were the best years, financially and customer-wise, for Smith Cardinal in that run?
I would say 15 years after his end business.
The 60s?
That's why I could get away, you know, and I had employees to take over.
I remember, this is another thing I remember, people talking about, even in your last days in business there, people like to go there and get their meat.
Mm-hmm.
Were you aware that you had a specialty base when it came to meat?
Well, we bought from, several. Well, Waldock was one of the best ones, Waldock Packing, out of Sandusky, where we got our meat. And we actually went up to the warehouse and picked out what we wanted. The meat, picked out what we actually wanted, which we could do with a certain grade and everything, and that's what we went with. It wasn't a top choice, and it wasn't a low choice. It was choice that we recommended.
Was there any other local person in business, in the grocery business, as long as you were?
Well, Wise, he was in business a long time, and I think he was a pretty good-sized store.
Yeah, but I don't think it was 50 years, was it, Bob?
No, it might not have been.
What do you think gave you that longevity? Because a grocery store is a big thing to run. It's bigger than a restaurant, I think.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think gave you the longevity?
Well, the personal contact with the employees, or with the customers, I think it was. And it's various things. And the employees. Good employees. Were hard to find, and when you got one, keep him.
Wanted to talk about that. Who was your longest-serving employee? Who was with you the longest?
Well, my son-in-law, Vic Mahaffey, because he started when he was 14 as a carryout at part-time.
As far as the cashiers went, because everybody sees the cashiers, did you have long-term good cashiers?
I had one. Brenda Wallace was with me for a long time. She was one of the best... But the others come and go, you know.
When you go into a grocery store today, do you, with your eye, do you critique what you see?
Oh, yeah. I kind of look at them. I said, why did they put this or that there, you know? And the stores, they'll put their private label up and the national labor down because they want to sell theirs. They make more profit on it. And take peanut butter, for example. Theirs would be up here, and the other one, national brand, would be at the lower level, which is a little trick. It's I think that's one of the ways they do it.
What was the biggest expansion you had in your run, as far as the growth of the store, items, things like that?
Well, we were doing about $3 million before the last year. Well, the last 2 years slowed down, but our peak, we'd done about $3 million.
Wow.
A year, and which was, you know, a good for our size and everything.
Now, is that before, is that after overhead, $3 million?
No, that's what the total was.
Oh, the total
the
over the year.
The actual total is the year.
What goes into, because grocery stores, you know, bananas go bad, meat you have to replace. What do you end up losing? What is the overhead to run a grocery store a year?
Oh, goodness. I'd have to think about that. It's you have to deduct your, well, we run a profit and loss statement in the meat department and the produce, so we could balance out to see what we're doing. That was real particular.
What was your favorite part about, I know it was the customers coming in, but what did you enjoy doing the most as far as labor? What did you enjoy going in to do?
Well, I was a meat cutter, and when we were starting, I went back and helped cut meat and grind and everything. And eventually, when business increased, I had to be up front. So that eliminated my meat department unless somebody was on vacation or something happened or something, you know. I'd go back and work in a meat department. I liked the meat department better than produce. I worked everything, you know, stocking shelves, the whole routine.
What was the least favorite thing? What did you like to do the least?
I'd have to think about that because I liked all aspects.
I do want to let the listening audience know we're chatting with Bob Smith, who was the owner of Smith Cardinal here in Marion for 51 years. I think the longest grocery store open in Marion with a local person running it, same person for all 50 of those years, half a century. If you have a question for Bob in the next 17 minutes, you can give us a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Bob, when did you start seeing a change in the way the grocery business was being done?
Well, I'd say the last 2 years, probably the last 3 years. Some of the chains were changing their way of operation to something else, which would cut into the individual or the independent store.
How did you create relationship with name brand products? Because you had national magazines, you had national cereals. How do you create those relationships?
Well, a lot of the suppliers would come in and reset the product. The soap department would come in and, of course, reset to their brand, of course, but they would reset everything, which was according to sales, and that was a lot of help. Nabisco come in and set up their products, which are for their sales to increase above the competitor.
Did you ever do sales? Was there a particular sale that you liked to run that you could set because you were a local person?
Yeah, we set our own ad, and usually capitalized on the meat department. At first, we called our meat department manager Sweet William, and various departments we capitalized. Not necessarily meat was always the capital item, though.
When did you realize that it might be time to shut the doors? It had to be a tough time. When did you close?
Well, that was about eight years ago.
7-8 years ago, yeah. So 2008.
Yeah, something like that.
When did you realize you were going to do that?
Well, the last 2 years, because the sales slowed down, and then they really went down the last year. So we actually just ran out of money.
Is that right?
I told my son-in-law, I said, we're going to have to close. And he said, well, why? I said, because we're out of money. I had $40,000 of my own money. I cashed in some bonds that I had, And I put it in, and of course we lost that. Mm-hmm. And then the way we settled up, we didn't go bankrupt, but we owed some of the suppliers. So after we auctioned off, well, we sold all the product on the shelves and everything, and then we auctioned off the equipment, and then we sold the building. So all this money, well, except the building, I was leasing the building to the corporation, so that was mine, and I sold it for $150,000. But then the other, we give it to the attorney and put it in his account, all the money that we accumulated with the sales and everything. And then we divided that up in between all the suppliers that we owed. We give them a percentage, and I got $20,000 back for my share, so I didn't lose all the $40,000. But anyway, the all of them went along with it except Coke. See, if we'd have went bankrupt, you would have had to pay the bankruptcy and the auctioneer and attorneys and all that, and they wouldn't have ended up with nothing. But this way, they got half of their bill back. So,
the day you had to announce you were closing to the employees you had, what was that like?
Oh, that was, I let my son-in-law do that.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah. What were the last weeks like?
Well, that was kind of sad. We had to let a lot of the employees go the few weeks before, and they kept like maybe a couple in there to handle the remaining groceries and to get rid of that. And then we auctioned everything off. So.
We all look back in hindsight. Is there anything you think you could have done to keep the doors open?
Yeah, we could have done away with the meat department, and you could have bought meat ready cut and wrapped, but the cost would be greater than you couldn't be competitive with it, and we could have downsized everything, I guess, but still you got electric bill that runs $3,000 a month, and you know the expenses, the overhead and everything has just been too much.
Why was the building torn down?
Well, I sold it to the guy that runs the spaghetti warehouse on West Center.
Yeah.
Him and his two brothers. I sold it to them. Well, they invested in, start back. They put in the front, they put a small store, beer part, or in the front, in order to keep the beer license. And I sold that separate to him, the beer license, and he wanted to keep that, and then he wanted to tear the building down and sell the beer, you know. But anyway, they went to Delaware and put in a strip mall over there on credit, and it didn't go. They put a filling station in and a store and with a couple other places to rent out. Well, the whole thing didn't go. And so they had tore this down, and they couldn't build. Simple as that.
So they still have the property. It's just not developed.
Yep. They got it up for sale.
The day that was torn down, was that a hard day?
Yeah, but kind of gripe me because I left all the compressors in there, and they just, you know, some of them were pretty valuable, and they just took them and trashed them, that's all. And so one of them things.
What did you keep from the store? Did you keep anything?
Oh, not really. I didn't keep much. I didn't even take any groceries home, to tell you the truth. I thought, well, I'll go in the back room, see, and there's some cases I'll take home. Well, we'd sold everything. So I couldn't take any groceries home. There wasn't anything left.
Is there any particular reason, I'm glad it does, but that the sign still stands over there?
Oh, yeah. Well, some truck hit it the other day. And,
oh, gosh.
And it shook it up. It didn't come down, but I thought about taking a shotgun in there and blow it up. But I sold all my guns, so I couldn't do that.
Do you like seeing it? Do you like seeing the sign still there?
Well, yeah, it kind of aggravates me once in a while. I go by.
Would you still like to be in the business?
Well, yeah, there's some business. Well, I went to work at Menards for a couple of years.
Right.
And I met people, you know, that were in the coming customers used to come in, which was interesting. And but I was working 7-11, and then I played golf in the afternoon. But then they changed my hours to go in at 5 and work till 9. And I said, I had to get up at 4 in the morning? No way.
Yeah.
So I quit. I quit more jobs.
Did you ever think about going to work? Well, did you know the other grocers in town when you closed up? Or were all corporate at that point?
No, not really. I had met some of the workers, but I hadn't. And I'd thought about going to Menards and maybe cut meat, but my back, I talked to them. And you're standing there and cut pork chops for an hour or so, and my back wouldn't stand it. My back's a little bad, and I don't think I'd. So I just forgot. I thought about being a greeter, but yeah. So.
Well, it's not over yet, Bob. You could still do it.
I know.
You could still do it.
Probably could.
Yeah, you're looking in pretty good shape to me today. Would you say you're in retirement, and do you enjoy retirement?
Well, not really. Yeah, you might say I do, but I like to be doing something. I plowed up a garden, and I got 28 tomato plants and some corn, and had green beans the other day, and got others. And my daughter moved in with him when my wife died, and her husband, but. In last Halloween, we had them pumpkins. So my daughter took the pumpkins and busted them out on the garden. Well, we plowed them under, you know, unbeknown. Now I got pumpkins growing from here to that wall. And I got two pumpkins about this big. So rather than tear them out, I left them go ahead, see what happens.
You'll have to bring us some at Halloween time, Bob. Yeah. We'll have to see these pumpkins. Did you have a specialty dish? It's not a restaurant. A grocery store is different. But did you have something that you like to cook that you would say is a Bob Smith classic?
Oh, well, I kind of like the spare ribs. But when we were living alone, I had a rotisserie, and I took the eye out of the round, or the loin, about this big and that big around, and wrapped it with string, and then put it on the grill, and that was the best, I think, I ever did cook. Mm. But that was great.
Did the grocery business after 51 years, without getting too personal, but did it leave you well off? Did it leave a good retirement?
Well, I had invested. I own two houses that I rent, and plus I invested in John Hancock 25 years ago, and added money to it, and then started drawing it when I hit 65. So I'm still drawing it. So I'm getting along all right.
When you turned 65, and the store was still doing very well, did you ever think, well, you know, maybe I should just, you know, come in one day a week and just let other people do it?
Yep, I had thought about that, but I couldn't do it. I got to have something to do at that age.
Yeah. Still today, too.
Well, yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. You talked about it. Your wife, whose family owned the business that you purchased, unfortunately passed away a few years ago, but how much a part of the business was she?
Oh, well, she worked in the meat department. She was a meat cutter. And I think that's what broke her back down, carrying fronts or hinds in on the meat block, you know. And, of course, she was working part-time and going to school and still working in the meat department. And then when she graduated, she continued until we got married. And then, we had two kids, and she couldn't be working anymore. But when we were down on West Columbia to a house that she was buying off her dad, and then we took over that and lived there for several years until the overpass came in and took the house. So I bought a house up on North Main, and we moved up there then, and where we could walk to the store if we wanted to.
You were married for an awfully long time, 63 years, I think.
Yeah, 61.
61. Mm-hmm. What keeps a marriage like that going so long?
Well, we had our ups and downs. Everybody does, I think. But we really got along good. And she worked in the store after we took it over. And we had two kids. And we hired this black girl to move in with us, and she had her own room. The two girls had a room, and we had a room, and she lived with us for, I don't know, for 4 years, I think, while Alice was working, and more or less, and it kind of tickled me. She every week she had her weekends to herself, but she's more or less stayed in her own room, and she had a TV or radio or something in there, and she might go someplace for the weekend. She had Saturday and Sunday off. But I had to buy her a fifth of whiskey, old J.W. Dant, if you ever heard of it. It's nothing but the most powerful stuff you can get, I think. I tasted it once, and I shook my head, but she had to have a bottle every week.
She relaxed on the weekend.
Yeah, she relaxed on the weekend.
You know,
we got along real good.
I also remember, Bob, the lottery. That was in your little booth there, wasn't it? The lottery area?
Yeah, we had.
How did the lottery change the grocery business?
Quite a bit. We had some problems to start with it, but It paid off quite a little bit, and then we got a machine, which they could. Tell you the truth, this one girl we had when we were selling them at the counter, she took about a strip that long, and when we balanced out with the lottery, we were way short of money, and we finally caught her and fired her, of course. I didn't prosecute her, but she's just a young girl, about 18.
You know, it seems to me, maybe I'm wrong here, but wasn't there a story in the last 10 to 15 years where, I don't think it was a robbery, but some kind of theft or something had happened at the store? Was it something like that?
Well, we had one break-in that, and actually we had thing caught up with the sheriff, but they moved it to the back, and when they broke in, the alarm went off, but they didn't hear it because it was clear in the back. But anyway, I had a big safe. I thought, you know, they broke into the smaller one, and so it was a big safe, and it had another safe in the top. And so they when we got in there in the morning, they had put cardboard up and where you couldn't see, and they had a light back in there, and they took a spring out of the truck. And see, your safes have layers. Well, they took the spring and drove down in there and took layer after layer off the safe until they got in there, and they got the money and stuff.
Jeez.
And left. And but they had been in there all night and drank beer and ate bologna sandwiches and having a big time doing it. Right. They were in there about half a night.
How much does that tick you off when something like that happens?
Oh, man. Well, the insurance, luckily we didn't have only about $3,000 in there, and they didn't take the checks, but we had about $3,000 in cash, and insurance paid for that. I think I had $5,000 insurance. Insurance is awful high for a burglary.
Oh, I bet.
Or robbery.
What's the most to a theft or a burglary that you ever lost?
Well, I think it was in the other building. They had broken into a safe there. And actually, they didn't get a whole lot because it was a smaller store. And I don't think they got over $2,000. In cash.
Bob, before we wrap up here today, you've told us a lot of great stories from the business. Is there another one that sticks out in your mind?
Well, the one we just talked about robberies, what we do and all that stuff. So we had three registers, and this Betty, she was in the third register, and this is on Friday night. We had taken, we were running out of money, and so we took the money out of the two registers and put it in the third register. And so I'm up in the office, and Betty Holler says, "Bob, I just been robbed." I said, "Oh, Betty, quit joking around." "No, I'm serious. We've been robbed." and so I went out in the parking lot, and, you know, it's mid, like, 9 o'clock or something, and it was dark out there. I listened for a car take off, but nothing. I couldn't see or hear anything, so he didn't get a whole lot. I think he only got about $1,500 because that was something. That was the lowest we ever been robbed.
Oh. Did you ever worry about things like, I mean, after having being held up like that, that somebody could come in and do some damage?
Oh, yeah. I had a pistol hidden underneath the dash in the car, and I kept that because you never know. But then my wife told me, I said, "You better get rid of it because you'll always shoot yourself."
Bob, the sign is still there. People remember the store, and people remember you because you were there for half a century. When they look back on it in Marion history, it was a great business here. How do you hope they look back on you and that business?
Well, I appreciate a comment from people that I've run into, and they always call me Mr. Smith. You know.
And if the sign disappears or has a bullet hole in it, we'll know what happened to it.
Well, I sold my shotgun, so no problem.
It's safe for now. Bob Smith, the legendary proprietor of the Smith Cardner Grocery Store, which was on North Main Street here in Marion for 51 years. The sign still stands if you haven't seen it. Drive by today, a big piece of Marion history over there. Bob, it's been a pleasure to have you in today. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for the invite.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
eBay. Get your season pass now so you can share the fun all summer long. Get discounts at Kroger,